Take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of Mark, please. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 11 this morning. Mark 11. We're going to read two verses this morning, verse 25 and 26. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. That's Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. As you're finding your place, if you're able, please, would you please stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God as we read it together this morning? That's Mark chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, beginning at verse 25. And when you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Let's pray together. Father, we as we continue, as Pastor preaches these messages on this important subject, I pray that you would speak to our hearts. But more important than that, Father, that we would take what is preached from the Bible this morning and apply it to our lives. This is so needful. God, please help us today. We need you. And then, Father, if there's somebody in this room that needs Jesus Christ as their Savior from their sin, I pray before they leave this room today, they would settle that. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated again, we'll ask you to make sure that your cell phone and such is turned off or to vibrate so it does not go off during the service. We'd appreciate that very much. Now, friend, listen, we conclude a series. I didn't really intend it to be. The series took this amount of preaching, but God just sort of gave direction. And I about this matter of forgiving one another. This will be the fourth of the messages and the last one, I believe. When we're done, we're going to put them together in a packet for you that you can get. Because you need to listen to all four messages. Frankly, I need to listen to all four together. It's not because I am brilliant, but because the subject of forgiving each other is not just a one-time sort of thing. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. We have learned how to forgive one another. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And here's how. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. See, forgiving others is based upon this. How much has God forgiven me? That's how willingly I should be able to forgive others. You're to forgive others not because of what they have done. You're to forgive others because you've been forgiven by God. And if we can get that concept right, get that straight in our minds, then we'll not only understand how we're supposed to do it, we understand why we ought to. Because look at me, friend, look at me. If you are a child of God this morning, if you're a saved person, you have been forgiven eternity in hell. God was willing to do that for Jesus' sake, not yours. By the way, that's why salvation, you cannot earn salvation by what you do. You can't get God to forgive you on your own. You can't do it. You can't get baptized for that. You can't join a church for that. You can't live a good life for that. People, religion today is trying to get God to forgive them because of what they do. God forgives us because of what Jesus did. His death on the cross is God accepting the payment Jesus made. And for Jesus' sake, God forgave us of the sin debt that would take us to hell. And since he was willing to do that for you, for the sake of Jesus, not even your own, you ought to be willing to not hold anything against anybody. You ought to be willing to give the forgiveness you so freely received. Remember the analogy Jesus gave or the parable about the man who was owed so much money and how very simply in a moment he was forgiven a huge debt he could not ever have paid, then met a friend who owed him a couple of bucks and wouldn't forgive the guy? That's us. We owe a debt we could never pay. And for Jesus' sake, God forgave us. Anything anyone does to us should be, in our thinking, about $2 worth. If you value it right, you can let it go. So the how of forgiveness, God told us that. We talked about the gain of forgiveness. What do you get out of forgiving others? Well, one thing is you can get past some things. You can get on with your life. Otherwise, you're going to spend the rest of your life crippled, dragging that dead leg of your past with you. You can never get your past behind you until you forgive others. And remember, forgiving others has nothing to do with whether or not they ask you. They may never ask you. We'll talk today about what happens when people keep hurting you. What do you do about this? See, it's not about what they do that gives you the ability to forgive them. You forgive them for your sake so you can let it go. The gain is, that's one just by itself. That's the big one about forgiving others. You can get past some things in your life. You never will till you do. Then there's the loss of not forgiving others. You lose, not them. They'll go on with their life, act like nothing ever happened or could care less. Now what are you going to do? You lose. You lose fellowship with God. We just saw it again in Mark chapter 11 in verse 25 and 26. If we will not forgive others their trespasses, God won't forgive us. Now I've lost my fellowship with God. That's too high a price. I don't care what they've done to us. It's too high a price to pay to have my fellowship severed from God. Can't have that. Don't want it. Can't live without fellowship with God. Can't function without that. And then, of course, there's the loss of life. It messes up your family. Messes up your living. Messes up every relationship of your life. A bitterness comes, and then there's the Bible talks about the man in the parable that was forgiven so much. He was then, because he wouldn't forgive, he was taken, and the master put him in a tormenting place in his life. Well, a lot of people are tormented, and they think it's because of what people have done to them. No, it's because you won't give God grace to help you let it go so you can get on with life. So today we're going to talk to you about the last thing about forgiving others, and this is the subject. What forgiving others is not, what it won't do, and what it isn't. I can't tell you how many people have commented on the messages, not because the preaching was any good, but because the truth was helpful to them in their life. That's why we're going to put them together and have them for you to be able to purchase or whatever. A couple thousand piece should be to take care of it. I can't tell you how many people said, Pastor, it helped me just resolve some things in my life. But one of the things, most common questions I had was, well, what happens when people keep hurting you? And there were questions about the forgiveness issue that I hadn't gotten to yet. And I kept telling them, come to the last one now. We'll help you with the last one. That's how you get people to come to church. Either that or buffet, one or the other. You got to have some kind of dinner. If you got a dinner, then they'll come. But anyway, never mind. You know, there are some things that forgiveness will not fix. There are some things that forgiving others is not, that it won't be. I do believe this. And listen now. I believe in working with people now for some 36 years of my life. I believe much of what we deal with in our hearts and our lives that causes us problems is related to not forgiving somebody right. Forgiveness is not telling them that you forgive them. Forgiveness is not words. Forgiveness is letting it go, putting it away from you so you can go on with your life. A lot of what happens in our marriages, our families, is about a lack of forgiveness. And the sad part is some poor soul in your family is paying for what someone else did to you. That's why the Bible speaks of the root of bitterness in Hebrews chapter 12, springing up thereby defiles many, and there's a bitterness that comes from not forgiving, and it affects our relationships, our families, our friendships. Everything's tainted in our lives. So I believe forgiving others is the answer to a lot of our problems today, in our hearts, our homes, our lives, among Christians, in our churches, even in the workplaces. But you know what forgiveness is not? Number one, it is not punishment. It is not punishment. See, here's the thought. As soon as you start talking about forgiving others, people say, well, that's not fair. Why should I have to forgive them for what they did to me? And not only are they upset about that, they're upset at God, because God, He requires forgiving others. He doesn't ask you to do it. He commands you to do it. When He said, be a kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, that's a command. It's not requesting it. Because he has been so willing to forgive you, he will not allow you to not forgive others. You got a problem with God about the issue, and that's where the issue comes. People think, well, that's not fair. I have to forgive them. They hurt me. They did this to me. They took my innocence. They robbed me of my marriage, my life, my family, my future. They hurt me. They took things away from me. They scarred me. They hurt me deeply, and now I have to forgive them. They consider it like punishment. We have forgotten the principle that forgiving others is for your benefit. In this passage in Mark chapter 11, in the verse 25 and 26, where he talks about forgiveness, back up a few verses, please. In verse 22, he says, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. And then he starts talking about forgiveness. First he's talking about moving mountains, having the faith to move mountains. And then he talks about when you pray, you got to forgive, because he's trying to teach us something. That thing that he's talking about, that mountain-moving faith, isn't trying to go out here and move mountains. It's having faith enough to believe that if you're willing to forgive somebody, it really will be for your benefit. You're going to have to trust God to let it go, with the grace of God and the help of God to let it go. You're going to have faith that that really is going to be the answer to help you get over these things in your life. It isn't punishment forgiving others. It's healing. It's strength. It's grace. It's dealing with your past. It's going on. It's being able to have joy and happiness in your life again. Listen now, and that doesn't make any difference no matter what's been done to you, and horrible things are done to people today. My soul, this is a sick world. We got people messing with children and messing with people's lives and just tearing one another apart. It's horrible. You think about those things and you think to yourself, you mean that? I preached on this yesterday in the jail, but a different subject on forgiveness and to these prisoners. And one of the men said, could I give a word of testimony? He said, this message helped me today. He said, 30 years ago, my mother killed my dad. Murdered him right in front of me. And all these years, he said, I have hated my mother. This man has been in and out of prison 5 times in his life now. And he's going back again. He said, because of my hatred for my mother, because she murdered my father, he said, my life has just been a wreck. Because frankly, he said, you nailed it today, preacher. He said, my bitterness and hatred is toward my mother. Now, look what I'm doing with my life. You understand, dear people? Listen to me very carefully this morning. See, that guy got the idea that this whole thing of having a grudge, holding a grudge, having bitterness towards somebody, toward someone who's done something awful to you in your life, destroys you, not them. Oh, by the way, his mother was sentenced to life without the possibility of parole. And now mother and son are both in prison. Let me ask you a question. So who's being punished? It's a matter of faith that you trust God, that with his grace and his help, you let this go in your life, what you hold against these people or this person or whoever it is, no matter what it is. You see, when you say $2 worth, Pastor Johnson, I have to concede what they did to me is $2 worth. I just cannot see that, because you're looking at what they did instead of what you've been forgiven for. If you've been forgiven eternity in hell by the grace of God, then it is $2 worth, because no matter what they've done, it'll last no longer than this life. It'll be over and done. And when you're gone, you leave this life, you go home to God, my friend, and everything's okay. It's all done. See, but eternity in hell is forever. And God was willing to take that huge debt you owed and wipe it clean for the sake of Jesus Christ. Now he's asking you to value whatever's done to you as $2 worth. That's not punishment. That's helping you to be able to put this thing in proper perspective so you can let it go. Otherwise, we're just going to spend our life as woe is me. I can't tell you how many times I've had people when they talk about forgiveness, they just, you can see it on their face. A few times when I preached that message a few weeks back, I had a couple of folks sitting out there just shaking their head going, uh-oh. They think this preacher doesn't understand it. Oh, I understand it. I understand all too well loss of childhood. I understand people taking things away from you as a kid and you didn't deserve it. I understand all those issues. But let's not go into my past or into your past. Let's do this today. Let's stop and realize that God asking us to forgive others is not punishment. He's trying to help you get past some things so you can go on with your life. Whenever somebody says, what they did just ruined my life, the truth of the matter is, that's not true. What they did affected your life, oh yes. What they did touched your life. But if your life is ruined, that's your fault. Now, doesn't that sound like punishment? Isn't it easy to blame somebody else for my misery, my bitterness? Isn't it? Rather than say, but with the grace of God, whatever they did to me is just what they did. That's it. And I let it go. Because remember now, forgiving others is not only forgiving them, it is forgiving what they've done to you. You can't let one go without the other one. And you'll never let any of it go until you do. I forgive them, but I'll never forgive what they did. And then you're not going to forgive. You got to let this thing go with the grace of God. Please remember something. Forgiving others is not something God expects you to do by yourself. He'll give you grace. Because see, he's the great forgiver. Oh my. Hey. Didn't you find forgiveness this morning? Didn't you take a few minutes this morning, make sure your heart was right with God? Oh, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Just like that, the great God of heaven looked down and said, my child's asking for forgiveness again? Granted. And then we look at God and say, you don't understand. They did that to me 25 years ago. They did that to me last week. Don't you want? Well, it's not punishment. It's help. He's trying to help you. No parent punishes their children without the benefit of trying to help their children understand they need to correct their behavior. And every parent has said, now, son, you're not going to understand this now, but you will understand it later. And every kid has said, I don't believe you now, and I probably won't believe you later. But you did when you had your own, didn't you? Huh? Hey, it's not punishment. It's faith. If I let this thing go, my life will go on, Pastor Johnson? Yes. You'll put your past in your past. You'll be able to let this thing go. You won't lay there and fret about it all night long. You won't sit around with your friends and have one of those Oprah sessions in your living room every time. And then, by the way, you ever notice how everybody one-ups one another? Well, my dad mistreated me. My sister ate my body parts. I mean, they get through all kinds of crazy stuff before it's over. I mean, it's insane. They just one-up one another, you know. Yeah, they locked me in a cage and fed me meat. I didn't have a cage. They just fed me meat. You know, all kinds of crazy stuff. And they're trying to dig somehow that fixes stuff. It fixes nothing. Nothing's changed till you let it go. It's not punishment. It's God's help. Number two, you know what forgiveness is not? Number two, it's not permanent. Forgiving one person for one thing in your life does not mean that it'll always go away. The amazing thing about God's forgiveness is this. When God forgives, God forgets. Whatever you've asked God for forgiveness for, he does not remember anymore. Psalm 103, as far as east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. East and west never meet. That means you and forgiven sin and your God never meet up again. You never have to ask God twice for forgiveness. Once is sufficient, it's done. But have you ever noticed that when you and I forgive somebody, it's still there, isn't it? I wish I could tell you that if you forgive somebody, you'll never think about it again. But that's not true. It'll still be there in your mind. So forgiving others is not like, now listen, you let it go. You don't hold against anybody anything. You hold nothing against another person, but it's not permanent in the sense that it wipes your memory clean. It's still there. So what do you do about that? Every time it comes to mind, you remind yourself, this is forgiven. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to hold on to it. I'm not going to hold it against anybody. But you see, that's going to be for most of your life. Now, I do believe this. I believe if you've honestly forgiven somebody for something and you've honestly, by the grace of God, done the way you're supposed to do so and you let it go, I believe you won't sit around and think about it all the time. But there'll be still be things that'll kind of key some memories. You know, you get together with your family, you start talking about childhood stuff. And so isn't that funny how we talk about childhood things and they're funny now and they were life-threatening then? Yeah, remember when I hit you in the head with a baseball bat and you're in a coma for a week? You know, stuff like that. It's really funny. Of course, your little brother's kind of retarded anyway, but because of that baseball bat thing. You remember how we talk about it? But there's things that cue certain things, are key, and they start to come to your mind. And when you've forgiven others the way you're supposed to, the forgiveness is permanent, but the memory is still there. So there's some lack of permanence about forgiving others. We still remember those things, but here's what you do. When it comes to mind, you remind yourself, but that's a forgiven thing, you know. And I wish I could say forgiving one person will help you forgive everybody on the planet. And it will if you do it right. But forgiving others doesn't mean it's permanent. You'll never have to forgive them again for anything. In the Gospel of Luke, and we won't turn there this morning, but in the Gospel of Luke chapter 17, Jesus said, if your brother comes to you in one day and asks for forgiveness, repents and asks for forgiveness, you give it to him. Then the next verse he says, and if he comes to you seven times in the same day for the same thing and repents and asks for forgiveness, you give it to him all seven times. Well, Pastor Johnson, wait a minute. I have to keep forgiving this person? Even if they wrong me and then they ask for forgiveness and I have to, I mean, after they did it two or three times, the same thing, they can't be forgive. They can't be genuine. Oh, okay. So have you ever asked God to forgive you for the same thing? Huh? You can go ahead and shake your head yes like that. It's all right. We won't pick you up and throw you out of the church. Have you ever asked God for forgiveness for the same thing? You know what I mean? You did it once, you asked for forgiveness, you did it again, you asked for forgiveness, you did it again, and you asked for forgiveness. Have you ever done that this morning, church? Okay, now stay with me for just a moment. You say, I know where you're going, I don't like that. Too bad. Now here's the point. The point is, he has been faithful and just to forgive us. You're working on habits and things in your life, and you ask for forgiveness because while you're working on those things, you may back up a few more times and say or do something you shouldn't do, but you go to God and you say, Father, I'm sorry again. Forgive me, Lord. I got sideways and I was wrong. And you don't make any excuses. Confessing sin is not going in a phone booth and telling some guy who dresses like a mother and calls himself a father what you did that's wrong. That's not confession. Confession is going to God and saying, I'm sorry, and agreeing with God about what you did. You're just being sincere. But if you do it, and listen, it doesn't make a difference how many times, if you do ask for forgiveness for the same thing over and over again while you're working on it, God will forgive you. Because he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, here's somebody who comes to us and they said, they asked for forgiveness and they did it again. They can't be sincere. Oh, no. Oh, no. The glory of their perfection has worn off. They're fallen people who do things they're not supposed to do. And sometimes they do the same thing they're not supposed to do. But if they ask for forgiveness, guess what you do? You give it to them again. Yeah, I'm going to give it to him. No, not that kind of give it to him. I said, you're going to give it to him again. You're going to say, okay, fine. Well, how many times do I have to do that one? 490 times per person, per offense, Matthew 18. Seven times in the same day, Pastor Johnson? I mean, how genuine can they be? Probably about as genuine as you are. Because you asked God to forgive you for the same thing more than once. Huh? Come on, church, haven't you? Remember, my forgiveness for them, to give them, is the same way I am to be. I'm to give the same forgiveness I have received. He's been just and faithful to forgive you. You see what I'm saying? Now stay with me. Some of you are going, now wait a minute, that just doesn't sound right. It does if you get the concept right. Because forgiveness is not permanent. I wish I could say you forgive one person, you'll never have to forgive another person the rest of your life. That's not true. And I wish I could also tell you, you forgive one person for one thing, you'll never have to forgive them again. That's just not going to happen either. Come on, married people. You cannot tell me that two married people under the same roof had to ask for forgiveness for the same thing. All the ladies are doing this, and the guys are just staring there, staring at me. I'm not trying to throw you under the bus. You know it's true. Excuse me. Man, it's not permanent, is it? Have you ever had to ask God to forgive you for the same thing more than once? Of course you have. Has He been faithful and just to forgive you? Yes, He has, because He told you He would. So then, now one more thing this morning. This is very important. Please listen. You know what forgiving others is not? It's not permission either. You're not giving them permission to keep on hurting you. Please listen, please. First of all, to those who think they can use that against somebody, just keep on hurting them, would you, somewhere today before the day's over, would you slap yourself real good because you need it? Those kind of people who say, well, you're supposed to forgive me no matter what I do. Well, that's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous to use the advantage of forgiveness to just keep on doing what you want to do. That's ridiculous. Now, that's not the way it's supposed to be. You're not supposed to use the forgiveness of others as permission to hurt other people. That's not what it's for. And by the way, you treat people unjustly like that, you better get ready for a bunch of trouble, because there is a just forgiver who's going to step in and He's going to deal with you about that kind of stuff. And don't ever forget that, my friend, when you think, well, that person just takes advantage of my forgiveness. Don't worry about it. There's a just God in heaven. He'll resolve issues. He'll take care of all of that. But the permission, that what you're not giving that person is permission to hurt you. You know, we go back to the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve told not to eat of the fruit of the tree, ate of it. Sin came because they disobeyed God, right? Listen, did God forgive them? Didn't He? He took the skin of an innocent animal and covered them. That was a picture of forgiveness. People should be covered ever since then. It's a good idea. But the forgiveness issue. But the picture was forgiveness. God forgave Adam and Eve. And then they just stayed in the garden and kept on. Oh no. They were forgiven, but then He had to put them out of the garden. Now listen, the picture was God's forgiveness covered them, but the consequences of their sin cost them Eden, that place. Now listen very carefully this morning. I want you to hear every word this preacher has to say at this point. Forgiving others is not giving them permission to continue to hurt you. You may have to separate yourself from the one who continues to hurt you. God had to do that with Adam and Eve. You don't stand there and take punishment in forgiveness. Now, there's one issue I have to deal with very quickly. I want you to listen to this preacher this morning. What if it's your spouse? Do you divorce over it? Do you leave them? Here's what you have to do. You have to, within your own heart, by the God's grace, without leaving the person. Now, if there's physical abuse, you get out of that situation. You call me, I'll come over and physically abuse him for you. I can't tolerate that. Men never lay a hand on a woman. A man would never lay a hand on a woman or intimidate a woman by the way he treats her. That's not a man. That guy needs a hormone check. That's free. It's on the internet. Hi, Donald Trump. You don't intimidate. You don't do that, okay? That's not the way it's supposed to be. But now, wait a minute. So how do you stay in a marriage where you have to keep forgiving, but somehow you distance yourself in that marriage? You have to have God give you special grace for the separation from your spouse is within your own heart. and your mind. It's not that you detach from your spouse. It's that you've got to learn to separate that which they are not doing as they should. Separate that in your heart and mind so you can keep forgiving them like you should while God works on them to get it right. God's still your heavenly Father when you break His heart. You know that? But your fellowship has been suffered. Something's not right between you and Him. But family, friends, fellow workers, you could, now listen, listen, you say, I want to get away from them, all right. Yeah, yeah, real easy. Then there's a forgiveness issue you need to deal with. You separate from them. In other words, you get some distance between you and that person. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said this. He said, you're not to cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them underfoot and turn and rend you. Pigs are amazing. They'll eat anything. Anything, including you. Could you imagine taking the multi-thousand-dollar valued pearl necklace and throw it in front of a pig? You know what he'll do? He'll eat it. If he can't eat it, he'll just walk on it. And if he's still hungry and you're standing there, he'll come after you. Did you know the Bible? That's a Bible principle about people who you try to do good for, good with, good to. And after a while, they just walk on what you do for them. And then they turn, start tearing you up in life. You have to treat them like a pig. You have to separate yourself. It's a Jewish analogy how Jews had nothing to do with pigs. All I'm simply saying is this. When you forgive somebody, you let it go. You don't hold anything against him. Hey, out of no bitterness toward them whatsoever. Because you got to keep your heart right about this thing. You distance yourself from that situation. You don't stand there and take punishment from a friend, a so-called friend, who keeps hurting you. No, you got to separate yourself from that. You have family members who just keep causing you grief and problems and grief and problems. Forgive them, let it go, and separate yourself. You do not give someone permission to continue to hurt you because you have forgiven them. Now, key, please listen. The key is if you distance yourself and you hate them, you distance yourself and you're bitter toward them, you distance yourself and you're angry toward them, then you've not forgiven them. And distancing yourself is not going to help. That's why a husband and a wife, for instance, they have problems. Someone in the marriage does something to hurt the other one. They leave them, they divorce them, they separate them. But if you don't fix that, divorce has fixed nothing. All you've done is distance yourself without the forgiveness issue. I do not recommend, I have never, and will never have, never will never recommend divorce. I'm not trying to hurt divorced people. I grew up in a divorce home. I have nothing but sympathy for people who've been hurt by divorce. So please understand that this morning. But I do not believe that is a solution to a problem. The issue is, within the marriage, you distance yourself, but you don't become cold and distant towards your spouse. You have to distance your heart so they can't keep hurting you for this. So God's grace can help you with this. That's amazing what God can do. When it comes to anybody else, you're going to have to put some distance between. Some of you adult, folks, you have adult children, you just let those kids just hurt you, stomp all over you, treat you horribly, and you just keep coming back and taking more. Time to put that kid on the road. They're going to have to go. I'm not talking about your four-year-olds. I'm talking about your 40-year-olds. You keep taking punishment from this. Excuse me. Well, I'm a mom. You have to understand. I have the heart of a great father. No. You forgive them so you hold nothing against them. But you say, son or daughter, till you get this right, we're going to not be that close anymore. You don't disown them. We're not talking about that so many religions and their disfellowship and cut the. All I'm saying is you've got to put some distance between you and the hurt. You understand, forgiving others is not giving them permission to keep stabbing you in the back, cutting your throat, and hurting you. But you got to be sure that you forgive them right and correctly so you can let it go and your life can go on. If I can't, then what I really should say is, I prefer to hate them. I'd rather hold something against them. I'm justified in my anger toward this person. You better hope God doesn't treat you like that. Same person turn around and ask God's forgiveness and expect it freely, but won't turn around and give it as freely as they receive it. Forgiving others, it isn't punishment. It certainly isn't permanent. And it isn't permission either. It's God's grace so your heart and life can go on, even in a situation where the hurt is right there in your home, in your marriage, where you go to work every day with that person who just keeps trying to get you and what they do, but you hold nothing against them. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.